Okay. Let's start with prayer request. Anyone know of anybody we should be praying for?
Steve
and Michael.
Okay. David.
Rain. Who's that?
Rain.
I'm sorry? Rain. Rain, that's right. Okay, David.
Linda.
Linda, okay.
People in Mexico.
People in Mexico, okay. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come before you, and this morning we do ask, Father, that you would be with Stephen and Michael, God, that you would help them, Lord. We pray, God, that they would follow you with their whole hearts, Lord, that they would lose their lives for your sake, Father. Father, we pray for David. God, we pray, Lord, that you will be with him and help him. We pray for Linda. Father, we pray, God, that she would just pursue righteousness with her whole heart. God, we pray for the people in Mexico, Lord. God, we pray for your kingdom to come in Mexico. And we just pray that will be done. And Father, we do ask for rain, Lord. You've been so good to us, Lord. And we complain when it's not raining, and we complain when it's too much rain. And Father, we just ask that you would just forgive us for that, and that you would just have mercy on us, Lord, and may your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, we're in Esther, and what chapter are we on? Anyone know? What chapter did we read last week? 6. Okay. All right. Well, let's kind of recap a little bit about what's happened in Esther. There was King Ahasuerus, and he wanted a new queen because the queen that he had would not obey him. And the king, he chose Esther, and she was a Jewish woman, and she did not tell the king that she was Jewish or she came from the Jewish people. Her cousin Mordecai, he found out that two of the king's eunuchs were going to try to kill him. And so he told Esther, and they stopped that, and they stopped those men. And so Mordecai saved the king's life. Let's see. The king had, he promoted a man named Haman, and he was above all the princes that the king had. And the king commanded that all his servants in the kingdom, that they would bow down before Haman, right? Okay? And pay homage to him and honor him. But Mordecai did not bow down to Haman. Does anybody know why Mordecai would not bow down to Haman? Yeah, that could have something to do with it. Yeah, yeah. Any other thoughts? Go ahead. Okay, okay. Yeah. No. Anyone else? Yeah. I think all it says is that Haman would not bow, and the only reason he gave was that he was because he was a Jew, and for some reason. Because God, I think, did want, it was somewhat okay to pay honor to, you know, to people that were in authority, but for some reason, Mordecai thought to bow down to Haman was wrong. And Mordecai would not do it, even though he knew he could probably get in big trouble, right? And so, when Mordecai did not bow down, it made Haman really angry. And Haman persuaded the king to have all the Jewish people killed. Okay? Because he realized that not only Haman wasn't going to bow, but this whole race, they go by different rules. They don't serve or don't follow the rules of that kingdom. They're following different rules. And Haman's plan was to just wipe them all out. Mordecai, he asked Esther, because she was queen now, he asked her to help, to step in and to ask the king to stop it. But Esther knew that she could be killed if she went to the king without being asked to come. And so you have two people. You have Mordecai, who did what was right, even though he knew he could lose his life. Okay? Esther, she had to make a decision. Was she going to do what was right, even though she knew that she could die and be killed? And I think that's something for us to think about too, that God wants us to do what is right, even though we may lose everything. Okay? Let's see. Haman saw Mordecai one more time when Haman thought he was exalted. Haman saw Mordecai. Again, Mordecai, he would not stand or tremble before Haman. And so Haman, he made something for Mordecai. Does anybody know what Haman made?
Judah.
A gallows. Okay, what's gallows? Does anyone know? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Right. It was something big, tall, to hang people on. And how many cubits did the Bible say that gallows was?
Okay.
50, that's right. And I looked it up, and 50 cubits, from what I saw, a cubit was like 18 inches, so that was about 75 foot tall was the gallows. Anyway, a very tall gallows, very tall. You know, twice, two of these buildings, I think. That's how tall it was. And that's what he's going to hang Mordecai on. And then the king, one night couldn't sleep, and he was going through his records, and he realized that Mordecai, they're reading it to him, he realized Mordecai had tried to, or had saved his life. The king realized that. And so the king asked, has anything been done to honor Mordecai for saving my life? And they said, no, nothing has been done. And so the king asked Haman. He said, Haman, what should we do for the person that I want to honor? Now, who did Haman think the king was talking about?
Himself.
That's right. And so Haman just gets all excited. And he says, okay, I think you ought to give that man your robe, one of your robes. And I think you ought to put him on a horse. I think you ought to parade him through the city. And you ought to make the best prince, you know, take him around and say, you know, this is what the king does for a person he wants to honor. And so what did the king tell Haman to do? Anyone? That's right. Do that for Mordecai. He said, don't remember to do everything you said and do it for Mordecai. And so Haman has to do this. And so he goes and does that. And says that after that was over, Mordecai went back to the king's gate. But Haman, he went home and he was so upset. He said it covered his head. And he goes home and he just, you know, tells his family and his friends. And they warn him. They say, if this Haman is a Jew, they said, you're not going to be able to get out of this. And so then the eunuchs come, or the chamberlains, they come, and they come to get Haman, and they take him to this feast, you know, or the banquet that Esther had set up. And so that's where chapter 7 starts. And so let's look at that. I'm reading out of the Septuagint, but I mean, the
It's not much different in verse or chapter 7, so you can probably go right along. So the king and Haman came to the banquet to drink together with the queen. And the king said to Esther on this second day of the banquet, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? What is your petition? Let it be granted to you, even up to half my kingdom." She said in reply, "If I have found favor in the sight of the king, let my life be given to me at my request and my people at my petition. For both I and my people are sold into destruction, pillage, and bondage. We and our descendants have already been enslaved as male and female slaves, and I refuse to listen to them. For the accuser of my people is not worthy of the king's court." I think that's one of the little differences. So she's telling the king, "We have been sold to destruction. My whole people." And the king, who loved Esther, says, "Who is this who dared to do this thing?" And then Esther said, "The enemy is this wicked man, Haman." He was sitting right there. Then Haman was troubled before the king and the queen. The king arose from the banquet and went into the garden. But Haman was pleading with the queen, for he realized that he was in desperate circumstances. He was wanting to have all the Jewish people killed. And then he realized that the queen is a Jew. The king returned from the garden, and Haman, while entreating the queen, had fallen upon the couch where she was sitting. And the king said, "So, will you force yourself upon my wife in my own house?" And hearing this, Haman changed his countenance. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, "Look, Haman has prepared a gallows for Mordecai, the one who spoke for the benefit of the king. A gallows 50 cubits high has been set up at Haman's place." Then the king said, "Hang Haman on it." And Haman was hung on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the wrath of the king was appeased. Okay. But reading that, it just made me think about that. Where Jesus said, "He who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." I think Haman was exalting himself and really took pleasure in that, and burned with anger when others wouldn't exalt him. And Mordecai, he humbled himself by obeying God rather than man, even if he's going to lose his life. I think that's just something for us to remember and to apply to our lives, to humble ourselves always. Okay, does anybody remember what the verse was or topic was that you're supposed to look at? Okay, why don't we start Judah over here if you're ready?
Judah 1:23-24. For if any be a hearer of the word, he is not a doer. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what inner man he was.
Go ahead. More?
Deuteronomy 6:12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
Psalm 20:7. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God.
Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers,
for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
Psalm 9:17. The wicked judge well, but and all the nations that are in God. Psalm 10:12. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thy hand, forget not the humble.
Okay. Caleb, do you have one? Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
James 1:24-25. He yield himself and go to his way and quickly forgetteth what manner he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetter, forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels.
Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to journal servants, for thereby some have destroyed angels.
Entertain. Okay? All right? Okay.